Ben Fred Friday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and we always talk it over with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLToday.com. And this is brought to you by our good friends Henderson and Watercutty, law firm based in Clayton, helping out folks in both Missouri and Illinois. No matter how big the offense, just go to their website, see it. They can walk you right through it 365 days a year. They are open. And that is Henderson and Watercutty, STLCriminalDefense.com, STLCriminalDefense.com. Well, Ben, good morning to you. It's another week, but we're edging closer to sports. How are things going for you?
Doing well, Dan. Good morning. And yeah, it seems like we are moving at a warp speed here. And ironically, we could get to the point where after not having sports for months and desperately wanting for them to come back, we could have them all going at one time, which is going to be a pretty fascinating summer if it shakes out that way, and fingers crossed that it's not derailed. But what a time this could become here soon.
Yeah, I'd welcome that. I think everybody would welcome that, with fans or without. So during this quarantine period, and we're going to base this on the fact that sports are going to come back, how about your biggest winners and losers in sports and what's transpired over the last, let's say, three and a half months?
I'll go biggest winner. I'll go NASCAR. Not a sport that I cover or follow very closely, to be honest, but I've been impressed by the sport for a few different reasons. One being they were, you know, found a way to be one of the first sports back. I mean, you had guys racing, and you had the boost from fans being able to watch live games, and they took advantage of having a unique setup where they didn't have to have a bunch of guys in the same place. And you can put a NASCAR race on TV, you can socially distance the pit crews, and you can race and have people not in the stands. And I think golf and racing both were smart to push the envelope on that. And then on the other side of things, I think NASCAR deserves a round of applause for coming out and taking a stand and saying, look, you know, we're not going to have the Confederate flag at our races anymore. The discussion in our country after the killing of George Floyd has been, it's impacted every corner of our lives, and it should. And I think, you know, that was one of the biggest kind of hidden, you know, atrocities in sports, is this idea that, you know, the Confederate flag became a rallying kind of thing for NASCAR. And there were a lot of people who didn't like it, but there wasn't anyone who was really to put their foot down on it. I'm glad they did it, and I think it was well received.
In terms of the biggest losers, who do you have there?
Well, that one's easy. I'm going to go Commissioner Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball. There's going to get a deal worked out. We'll see the specifics, Dan. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that have to go right in order for it to work. But I do think we will have a season. He said that on the draft night. He said 100% we're going to play some way, somehow. But and we knew that to some degree, right, that there was too much money on the line to not try. But I just think that the way in which both sides have gone about this has been a big bummer. They had a chance to lead. They had a chance to give the country something to get fired up about. And instead, they've turned off a lot of people by letting this devolve into a fight about money. And I think that falls more on the owners than the players, whether you agree with who should get most, or I'm not even talking about that. The owners have to be the stewards of the game. The owners are the long-term, you know, the long-term thinkers in this situation, at least they should be. And they have been told, you know, they have told the players time and time again, hey, you have to go by the deal that you negotiate. They can't then be mad that the players are trying to negotiate the best deal. It's the owners who are going to own these teams for years to come. It's the owners that should be concerned about the message baseball sends to its fans, to its potential fans, by some of the stances and some of the public bickering that has bleeded out here. It's the owners who've leaked all of this information out to the media, not the players. And the guy who is supposed to keep the owners in check is Rob Manfred. So I think he's our biggest loser here.
Well, let's stick with baseball. The Cardinals, their first pick, a high school third baseman, big kid, 6'5", about 220 pounds, Jordan Walker. He's an interesting kid, interesting family, well-educated, was supposed to go to Duke, and at least at this point, he still could. But it sounds like the Cardinals will be able to sign him. Tell me about Jordan Walker. What have you found out?
A lot of intrigue there, and kind of we're seeing this fingerprint of the Randy Flores draft, right? For years and years, it was Cardinals and pitchers and Cardinals and college pitchers. And Randy Flores, since he's really you know, taking over the driver's seat of the draft, they're out hunting for that kind of star position player that they have not been able to produce. They're out looking for the next Albert Pujols. Now that's a tough assignment, Dan. But we've seen, you know, going back to Delvin Perez and Nolan Gorman, the Cardinals are on the hunt for power producing position players. And Jordan Walker, his upside is his power. Big kid, 6'5", would be the tallest third baseman in baseball, along with Chris Bryant, if he started in the majors tomorrow. And the power is the upside. There's some, you know, good reviews about his defense, although the size is going to be a question for that position. But the Cardinals drafted him because of his bat. If there are any concerns, it's about kind of his swing path. It seems maybe a little long, maybe a little strikeout prone when he deals with tougher breaking stuff. But these are all things that we talk about when we talk about an 18-year-old kid with power. I mean, this young man seems like he is a really good pick. And it seems like he's the kind of player that could grow into the kind of player the Cardinals don't produce enough of. So personally, I like it. I mean, we've seen the Cardinals can develop pitching. They can go out and find it at the bottom of a scrappy. They know pitching. What they can't come up with and can't engineer is a player who has the raw gifts and raw power that they've been looking for a while now. So if Jordan Walker becomes that guy, great. I would encourage folks not to worry about a third base logjam between Nolan Gorman and Elders Montero and some of the other guys at that position, because they can play different places. There's always deals that can be made. This is another talented young hitter who could be on the Cardinals radar, Cardinals fans radar here very soon.
I believe his mother, WashU product, and father, yes. MIT. Is that correct?
Pretty smart family, right? And kind of cool that his mom actually studied here in St. Louis before he became a Cardinal, which I'm assuming that if he had any reservations about not taking the Cardinals offer with a pretty nice bonus salary there included, his mom can fill him in about St. Louis and also what it means, what the Cardinals mean to St. Louis. So Duke is a great school, and I imagine that he's going to get that degree at some point, but it sounds like he's going to give pro baseball a chance first, and I think that's the right call.
Long Gone Summer, the documentary of Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa from 1998, will make its premiere and debut on Sunday night. Where are you with this? Are you looking forward to it, or are you just like, I'm okay with it?
No, I'm eager to see it. I think it'll be interesting, and I come at it from kind of a unique vantage point. You know, I didn't cover the home run race. I paid attention to it as a young baseball fan, and I was very much in the sepia tone, you know, thrill of it. And remember falling, you know, in love with baseball, or increasing my love of baseball because of that. And that really, that home run chase really brought baseball back to the national viewpoint. And some people say it saved baseball. Now, we probably have a different view of it now that we know, you know, how big of a role steroids played in it. Curious to see how much the documentary gets into that. And I'm fascinated in general by the role that Mark McGwire plays in Cardinals fandom. I mean, a guy who, you know, became a Cardinals legend, is in the Cardinals Hall of Fame, despite, you know, not being beloved everywhere for some of the choices that he made. But in some ways, played for a Cardinals team Cardinals era that was not all that successful in terms of what Cardinals fans usually identify as success in World Series and deep postseason runs. Yet he's still beloved because of the draw that he had at the ballpark. So I think he's a fascinating figure in Cardinals history. And I'm eager to see how this documentary goes about it. I hope they learned a little bit from the Jordan documentary, that what really makes it interesting is if you get into some of the uncomfortable corners and get people to talk on that, because if it's just a breezy trip down memory lane, then I think it's a little shallow probably.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
Well, what we saw from baseball at that time was a work stoppage in 94, and then you had Cal Ripken breaking Lou Gehrig's consecutive game streak. You had Sosa McGwire 98. And they do, you know, Marcus said, I believe I helped save baseball. You had a Yankees dynasty with a great, great player as the figurehead of that, and Derek Jeter. And you know what? New York is good for sports, and a dynasty and the Yankees, an historic franchise, that's good for the game. I'm really curious what baseball has coming out of this stoppage, if you want to call it that, but the virus has stopped it, and it's been negative press all over the place. It's been ugly. It's been bad. You know, that's something you think about, is what is there for baseball fans to hold on to grasp outside of the game. Sometimes you need a good villain. Sometimes you need a great player or a great team. I'm not sure that's there at this point with baseball coming back.
Well, yeah, it raises a timely question, is will baseball need to be saved again? And who can do it? The best way to save it is to get it being played.
Bingo.
That's the number one thing, and to stop this public, you know, retching about money when an unprecedented amount of Americans are collecting unemployment. I mean, baseball needs to read the room, and it needs to read the news, and it needs to get over itself a little bit. And that's not players or owners. That's everybody involved. So I think there needs to be a bit of a reality check, and that's the best way. But, you know, who knows, Dan? I mean, I could see if baseball can pull this off, and even if it's a shortened season, kind of a sprint through the finish line, maybe that becomes, you know, something that stirs the pot a little bit. I mean, I do think people are going to be interested in these altered postseasons, whether it's this NBA AAU-style tournament, whether it's the hockey setup with the expanded postseason pool entering before you get to kind of the more traditional 16-team playoff. There's going to be interest in this. There's going to be, even if people will just want to fight about it, there's going to be discussion and interest in some of these new rule changes that baseball could roll out on a temporary basis for 2020. So I don't know that saves the sport, but you're not going to save it unless you're not playing. And I do think there's interest there, and some of this negativity will fade away if they simply find a way to get games going again. The shame is they should have been there. They should have been starting July 4th and that would have been, what a moment that could have been. And I think they've blown that because they're going to not get things done in time. But, you know, there will be something that emerges. There will be a team. And here's what might do it. There might be a team that had no chance collectively of winning a World Series this year that has a better one because of a shortened season. I mean, think about a team like the White Sox. That's a young upstart team kind of coming into probably its stride after a significant rebuild, a lot of young star talent. You know, they probably aren't ready to go 162 games wire to wire and be a World Series champion. But that young energy, you know, you shorten that to 50 games. If they catch a groove, they might jumpstart their climb. And that certainly would get a lot of folks paying attention. So maybe that's the thing that captures people's attention. The team that was not supposed to be there, taking advantage of this shortened season.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
I'm fascinated by what teams will do with their type of players that are like Dylan Carlson, Cody Whitley, Zach Thompson, the guys that might have been here in a normal season right now. And if it's a shortened season, which it will be, what do teams do? I mean, do they look at it and say, we're going to go for it, we're going to call up our players and treat this like a normal season and start their clocks, or do they hold them back and just say, look, it's an outlier, everybody's trying to get paid, and we'll worry about that stuff in 2021? I do think that's a fascinating perspective of what's going on in Major League Baseball.
Well, I think we have to think about the alternative. I mean, do we want to tell Nolan Gorman? I mean, if we as the Cardinals, do we want to tell Nolan Gorman that he just is going to have the year off? Do we want to tell Zach Thompson that he's not going to throw for a year? I mean, I would think it's a two-way evaluation.
And it's one about development too, that you're trying to develop these guys.
One is, hey, can you help us? You know, that's got to be number one. Number two is, can you help us? And is there a long-term benefit of us having you around? and us having our hands on you and our eyes on you and our coaches on you. Because if these guys aren't going to get paid and if they're not going to be able to play, if the minor leaguers aren't going to have a place to play, then they can't be around. That would really go against the purpose of having a smaller roster. And where are they going to find competitive instruction? When are they going to, you're going to have a lot of baseball players suffering from a lost year. So I think if I'm the Cardinals and knowing how they think about development, I'm not talking about Nolan Gore. I'm not talking about, service time anymore. I'm not talking about, Dylan Carlson and how much money I can save if I start him in Memphis, because Memphis is not going to be an option. I'm thinking about where do I want him to be at a certain year and how much better off could he be by being around the team, by having hands-on instruction, by being as close as possible to playing every day, even if it's pinch hit here, or maybe just, a reserve or on the travel squad, whatever. Find a way to have those guys that you're going to rely on in the near future around, because I don't want a bunch of my top prospects who are close having a lost season, because that could derail things for a long time.
July 10th, the NHL is set training camp, so this is coming. What do you think?
I love it, and it's nice to see a concrete date. It's the Blues got to get their guys back in house, and this starts the clock, Dan, and this starts the fingers crossed of, hey, hopefully it's one continued step forward after the next. Hopefully as these small group workouts turn to bigger ones, then there's not a setback. Because I do wonder, and I think you do too, how many setbacks can happen? How many guys can get coronavirus before a team has to shut down? How many teams can shut down before the attempt to play has to be shut down? At some point, it's a conversation of, competition versus last team standing because of health. I don't think any league wants that. We've already seen how difficult it can be through the college lens. I mean, these college football teams are getting teams back together. They're starting to test players, and they're finding out, guys are coming back with signs of coronavirus. So you got to test them when they get back so you don't put them all in a room together. But that's going to be the big problem as we go back to work in offices, as teams go back to work for practices and then later games. And you just have to hope that the precautions in place keep things from being stalled. And personally, I'm hoping that there will be, that the talk of this second boom or this talk of the second wave will be not as bad as some people think. I think we all have to hope for that, too.
Mizzou has talked about a little policy change, have they not?
They have. I think it's smart. Initially, the SEC told its football teams, hey, we're going to leave how you handle coronavirus testing and evaluation basically up to the teams upon players return to campus. And Mizzou is one of multiple SEC schools that said, hey, we're not going to test everybody blanketly as they arrive. We're going to test people who are showing signs of coronavirus. We're going to test people who are specifically more at risk. But in terms of everyone gets tested before they can be around the team, we're not going to do it that way. That didn't make sense to me. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a doctor. But to me, if I'm going to put, 100 guys together and those guys not coming down with big swaths of the virus are critical to me playing a college football season that's going to make my university a lot of money, I would want to know that on day one, I'm not putting people in that room that are bringing the virus in. And I think that Moon Choi, the president at Mizzou, said, look, we're not going to bring all these guys together without testing everybody. And I think that kind of pushed the athletics department in that direction. And I think that was a wise choice by President Choi. Even if it could happen where a guy tests negative, he goes to Schnucks to get something. He goes to wash his car. He goes to the movie theater, and all of a sudden, the next thing they know, that he's got a positive test, and they say, "Well, that first test was useless." Okay, but you can't bring guys in and not test them, and then derail things before they get off the ground. And you have to, if you're going to, put so much emphasis on, having these players back, and you got to do everything in your power to make sure they're not exposing to the virus unnecessarily. So I think that was the right call. And I think Mizzou made the right decision in changing its plan.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website,
STLCriminalDefense.com.
I'll wrap it up with this. MLS is heading down to Orlando. They'll have a World Cup style resumption of their season. They're going to lose over $1 billion in revenue, but they're getting together, and they will be a sport that is back before anybody else. And as it pertains to St. Louis, I really hope that, because we're all just starving for sports, that fans watch it. It's going to be on at like 9 in the morning, then again at noon and 3 and then 6. So you're going to have soccer all day. It's a great way to introduce, even without fans, the casual sports fan into the sport of soccer and MLS.
Yeah, absolutely. And good on MLS for grabbing the attention. And this was an example of how fast some animosity can fade away. I applauded MLS for being one of the first teams to have, you know, a real concrete plan on how to bring players back for individual workouts. And that clearly worked, because now they've got, you know, they're moving toward this July 8 tournament. And this was a league similar to baseball that didn't play its full regular season, that had about 2 weeks of its regular season underway before the bleep hit the fan here. So in some ways it's more similar to baseball. And there was some animosity between the players and the teams that really, it didn't get as covered as much because it's not as well covered as baseball, but there was basically an ultimatum from the teams at one point. The players settled and found an agreement, and now they've got a plan out, and everyone's talking about the tournament as opposed to the disagreement. So there's an example for baseball. The faster you can get to an agreement, the faster people can start getting excited about the actual return to play. So hopefully baseball can take a message from that. But this idea of this tournament is exciting. I think it will get some folks watching games. I think any game that's back now is going to get a boost until people are just so flooded with them they feel like they can't watch them all. But MLS has a chance to really increase its presence in America, and I think folks from St. Louis have a great chance to turn this on and see what it's all about, because they're going to be in the mix in 2022.
Looking forward to it. Hey, Ben, great stuff as always. We'll catch you up next Friday. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Sounds good, brother. Talk to you soon.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, STLCriminalDefense.com.